This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. It is Tuesday, the 5th of April, 12:05 here in the studio, where I am joined by...
Audrey Raj. It's also 12:05 outside the studio, Rich.
Yeah. Stop doing that. Anyway, of course, it's me and Audrey today. You've got us for around about an hour or so. Today, we're talking about price hikes everywhere.
What goes up but never comes down.
Right? And that's what we'll be talking about throughout the remainder of today's show. And if you want to get in touch with us, get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter, as usual, at BFM Radio. Now, at some point, you've probably gasped at the fact that your favourite cup of tea is now £2.50 instead of £2. I don't know where Arvin is doing his shopping. Price hikes are a normal part of inflation and a fluctuating economy. And this year, the transition towards endemicity is further complicating things. Right. While surges in prices are understandable, it doesn't make it any easier for us consumers. Where else can we expect to pay more for our usual goods? Will prices ever come down? Spoiler alert, probably not. And can retailers carve a niche by keeping prices steady?
Yeah, so according to the Petaling Jaya Coffee Shop Association, the price of dairy products is expected to increase on April 1st. Or had increased on April 1st, with another increase expected in June. The China Press reported that Association President Chia Pu Kwang received a letter from a dairy products company notifying him about the price increase for items such as whey and skimmed milk powder. Chia said a box of milk powder currently costs RM110, but is expected to be up by about RM10. He also said any increase in the price of condensed milk and evaporated milk would affect the price of beverages at their outlets. He also said businesses were forced to make price adjustments back in January when the cost of dairy products increased twice last year. I think it was in April and in November. Yeah. And coupled with increases in other overhead costs like employee salaries, rent, electricity, gas, you name it. And because of this, he added that the upcoming price hike of dairy products was quote unquote inappropriate. And here's a quote from Chia. He said, we do not wish to increase prices, but if there is another price increase in June, we will be forced to adjust our prices. Now, Chia hoped that customers would understand the decision by coffee shop owners to increase prices, saying it was a last resort since their businesses have yet to fully recover from the impact of the pandemic and, you know, the MCOs, as well as inflation.
Yep, that's not the only place where price hikes have been noticed, of course. New Straits Times covered a story about an uptick in prices at this year's Ramadan bazaars. This is the first time, as we know, in over 2 years that the bazaars are able to operate at their full capacity, which must be a relief for the traders who make a living during this time. Ramadan bazaars were barred in 2020 at the height of the COVID-19 spread in the country. Then in 2021, bazaars were only prohibited at enhanced movement control order areas. The Prime Minister said on February the 13th that it was the government's stance to allow business activities, including the bazaars, this year. However, due to everything from the pandemic to inflation, many of them have been forced to kind of recalibrate their prices to substantiate their incomes.
Yeah, so just to give you an example, setting RM1 for a stick of chicken satay was a tough decision, but a trader interviewed by NST said that he had to do it to cope with rising prices of raw ingredients. This trader, he's 52 years old, he said, and here's a quote, "I had no choice as I had been selling it at 80 cents per stick for a few years. However, the cost of raw ingredients, especially chicken meat, has gone up, along with the other essentials I use in the marination recipe. Luckily for me, my customers do not mind the new price. I am glad to be able to maintain the price of beef and lamb satay at RM1.20 respectively." And this trader also expressed hope for the government to do its best to keep the price of goods from going up. He said it was important for the government to monitor the ceiling prices to avert any upward trend during the month of Ramadan. And of course, you know, ahead of Raya celebrations itself.
Yeah. Now, also lamenting the cost of raw food was Popya Bahasa Mama Bangsar's operator, Hafizul Muhammad Ali, who had to strategize ways to keep last year's RM6 per box price, you know, as he was against a price rise. Here's a quote from him. He said, instead of putting a higher price, I decided to keep it at RM6 per box, but reduced the quantity of pulpy rolls to 3 from 4. I don't know which is worse. However, these 3 rolls of pulpy are slightly bigger portions. This way, I get to save on the pulpy skin instead of placing the price at RM7 or RM8 per box, which is, frankly speaking, pretty steep for pulpy and might scare people away. He then went on to say he had noticed the escalation of raw ingredient prices in the weeks leading up to the Ramadan month, including especially ground chili, which is an important part, of course, of making pulpy sauce, as well as peanuts and cooking oil.
Cooking oil, right. Now, meanwhile, a retail associate said that the price of roti john he had bought from the same store last year had gone up by RM1. He paid RM7 for the roti john, adding that the price of kueh, such as curry puffs and sri mocha, was 60 cent each, an extra 10 cent from last year. And you know, he says that he feels like the price is still okay and it's not that that high. And but you know, maybe you just won't be able to buy as much kueh mueh as you used to, you know. Have you noticed any of these price hikes, Rich?
Oh yes. Obviously, now things are a little bit more open. I've been doing a lot more grocery shopping. And not only have I been going to the market near where I live, but also, of course, the supermarket. Prices in both places have gone up exponentially, especially for fruit and veg that, you know, may have been produced up in places like Cameron Highlands or stuff like that. I have seen a huge increase in prices and stuff like that. Even little things like, you know, the price of broccoli, for example, which I tend to take a lot of, has really shot up over the last few months. Crazy prices.
I have been very careful in picking where I dine out, but there is a little place in Taman Mega that I go to and had to have my Indian food fix. And I was speaking to the owner that day, and he was talking to me about how he's had to relay the price hikes to customers. Because just say you come in for a dosa and a coffee, and it usually costs you, say, I don't know, RM3.50 or RM4. And now when you have to tell customers, you know, maybe they come in and that's their usual, right? Like like 2 roti canais and a teh tarik or something. But when you have to tell them it now costs RM1.20 more, he's had some customers go like, why? You know, like why do you have to do this? How come it's so, you raise the prices by so much? And there's a lot of damage control when you have to deal with customers on a daily basis that, you know, they're regulars. They know how much it always costs. They come in, you know, expecting to pay X amount. And then you have to tell them that now it costs this much. And they're already anticipating the price hike for beverages in June as well. Yeah. So it's like, I just had to raise prices and now I have to do this again.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't sit well with some of their customers.
Especially when wages are not necessarily reflecting this price hike.
Exactly. And then they've also had so many issues with the supply of raw ingredients. And, you know, even the suppliers themselves are cutting down the portions in order to make the same price, you know, to deliver, to meet the contracts that they already have with these shop owners, right? And so the portion sizes are reducing, the prices are going up, and it's just been such a challenge for these F&B owners.
Even some of the quality of the ingredients within these food products as well have also been adjusted.
Exactly.
You know, there are some well-known brands that I know have had to come out publicly and apologize for using, you know, lesser grade products in their ingredients.
There's just no choice, you know?
No choice, right. We're going to take a short break, but let us know what you are feeling, folks. You can get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter and Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Have you noticed price drops at all? Or is that just like feeling around, you know, for fun? Have you heard any price drops?
Price drops, no.
No?
No.
Are you feeling the impact now that you're traveling more, folks? Let us know. Get us on the numbers. You know what they are. We're going to take a short break. When we do come back, we are hearing from somebody. We've got Vernon Trois. He's the CEO of Inertia Labs to give us some of his thoughts on the price hikes, especially when it comes to food. We'll be right back after these messages on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Be free, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back, folks, to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Audrey Raj.
What are we talking about today, Auds?
We are talking about something that tends to go up but never comes down. We're talking about price hikes everywhere.
Yes. Have you noticed any hikes where you are? Have you been feeling the impact now that we are traveling a little bit more? Cost of petrol, perhaps. Cost of your transportation, has that gone up? Let us know. Get us via WhatsApp if you want to, 018-789-8899, or Twitter. We are at BFM Radio. Now, me and Auds have been discussing during the break some of the price hikes that we've noticed, you know, mainly on fruit and veg and, you know, day-to-day groceries and kind of things. In terms of petrol, though, thankfully I don't have to fill up as often as some people. But what about you, Auds? I mean, I know you use your car a lot, or have been used, or were using your car.
I sold my car during the pandemic,
yes,
Rich.
Yes, yes.
But what I have noticed is the price for Grab rides.
Oh, yes.
Have significantly gone up. What would cost me, say, I don't know, seven ringgit from Wan Utama back home, that day cost me about between 11 ringgit. And there was once on a rainy Friday evening at 5 p.m., I paid 18 ringgit.
My word.
So, yeah, that's gone up.
Normally, I think on an average day, an average morning for me to get here, if I'm trying to aim to be here by about 8:45 or 9 o'clock, I'll pay on average, 12 to 14 bucks. Mm. But there was one day, like you, when it was raining a little bit, and it started at 27 ringgit and went all the way up to 33 ringgit.
Did I mention that I paid 18 ringgit and waited for 45 minutes? Okay, just putting it out there. But here's the thing. I would like to know how much a teh tarik costs right now. And I'm pretty sure Arvin has the answer to that because, you know, he is the teh tarik connoisseur of BFM. But is it really 250 now?
I don't know. I've not had one for so long.
The last I was at a mama, I think I paid 180. So I'm just alarmed at the fact that it is now 2 ringgit 50 cents. But we'd like to know, please.
Yeah, please chime in, folks. Let us know. The number on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Now, we do have Vernon Chua waiting patiently on the line. Of course, he is the CEO of Inertia Labs. Orge, do you want to ask the first question?
Sure. Vernon, thanks for joining us. Now, firstly, what are your thoughts on these price hikes, especially when it comes to food? You know, are we surprised or like, you know, did you already know this is bound to happen?
Thanks for having me on again. To answer the question, during the pandemic, there was already major supply and logistics issues across many sectors around the world, right? Mm-hmm. There were logistic bottlenecks in shipping, in cargo flights, and even ground transport. Mm-hmm. Even trying to get container pallets and warehouse space to store your goods became an issue, you know, because, you know, everyone needed to store their goods because their goods were not moving. Mm. And this is what happens when borders are closed and global trade is disrupted. But because of this, the cost of goods and shipping increased. And this in turn forced our manufacturers to increase their prices as well. And this had a knock-on effect all the way down to the supply chain to you and I. Mm. I'll give you an example. Feed costs is about 70% of the production costs of raising chickens and getting eggs, right?
70%.
So when the cost of feed went up, it placed cost pressures on chicken and egg producers. And this eventually led to a disruption of the chicken supply. And, you know, across the board, our clients in the F&B industry and in the supermarket industry have been telling us that their cost of goods are going up. And we are seeing this reflected in the 3.2% increase of the Consumer Price Index announced in December 2021. So no, it's not a surprise to those in the industry. Mm.
I'm glad that you clarified there, Vernon. For a second, I thought you said feet prices. Yeah, I'm glad I'm not.
Chicken
the,
feet
it was
price.
You as well, right?
I heard it too. Oh, sorry, Vernon.
Okay, now Vernon, now that we're transitioning to the endemic phase, where else do you expect to see prices surging in the retail scene?
So the recent increase in oil and gas prices, which has been quite a dramatic rise, is actually due to the geopolitical instability that we're seeing in Europe, right, in the conflict in Ukraine. And this instability is going to further increase the cost of logistics. And when the cost of logistics rises, it affects the price of the prices of everything we import. Mm. So although we are transitioning to the endemic phase, our borders and trade routes are going to take time to normalize. And, you know, right now, even now, there'll still be additional SOPs at all our borders and all our trade routes in order to, because of the pandemic, right? And this is going to incur additional costs as well. On top of that, Russia and Ukraine, combined, they supply more than a quarter of the world's wheat. And what's happening there is going to further fuel higher food prices. And Ukraine supplies 50% of the world's neon gas. And this is used in the production of semiconductor chips, which Malaysia is a major manufacturer. And these semiconductor chips are in turn used in the production of microchips. And these microchips are used in computers and electronics. So we are going to see continually high computer and electronic prices.
Right.
So already the pandemic had impacted semiconductor supply. But now the war in Ukraine is going to make it worse.
Right. Okay, from a consumer standpoint, Vernon, what kind of impact do price hikes have on our sentiment, on consumer sentiment? And is it any different this year as things like kind of slowly get back to normal?
In spite of all these price hikes, we still expect revenge spend as our economy continues to open up. This will be seen as an increase in consumer spending and confidence, especially compared against the same period in 2020 and 2021. Unfortunately, the biggest impact of these price hikes will hit the B40 and the lower M40 groups. In the longer term, this is going to translate into a widening purchasing power gap in our society and a potential dampener in consumer sentiment in the long term.
I don't even know if this is possible, Vernon, but what are some of the things retailers and food businesses could do to try and to maintain normal prices as the supply chain goes through all of these motions? Is it even possible?
I don't think this is possible unless retailers and food business operators change the way they operate or, you know, alternatively find cheaper supply. But I don't think cheaper supply is something that is... that is really realistic in this environment. So the only way for them to reduce their costs is to change the way they operate. And, you know, technology can be a great friend in these times to reduce costs and improve efficiency. I mean, as an example, some of our F&B clients have already shifted to digital menus and QR code ordering in order to reduce their dependency on labor and also therefore reduce the labor costs.
Right.
And some of them have gone on to streamline their menu offerings so that even though they have fewer items on their menu, but because it's being ordered more often, they actually are able to achieve economies of scale. In these times, I must stress it is very important to analyze the data of their businesses. And they need to use this data to their advantage. For example, some of our clients with that data have created combos, right, that are effectively cheaper for the consumer, but it actually brings up their average spend at my clients' businesses.
Right.
So, you know, in the retail and F&B world, there's only really two ways to make money. And one is to increase the number of customers and the other one is to increase their average spend. So with your data and with your technology, you are trying to encourage both to increase.
Sneaky, right. But smart.
Yeah. Now, Vernon, I'm curious if like tourism and the reopening of borders have anything to do with price hikes across the board. I mean, does it factor in?
I personally believe that tourism and open borders are sorely needed right now because we need them to the tourists to come in and kickstart and get our economy back to a semblance of 2019. And these tourists are going to be a boon to our F&B, our hotel and our retail sectors. And it's going to keep employment going. I mean, in 2019, pre-pandemic, we received 86.1 billion ringgit through tourism compared to just 12.7 billion ringgit in 2020. And on top of that, it's really going to take some time before tourism and visitors once again put pressure on prices. You know, I mean, for example, in Johor, due to its proximity to Singapore, it's not going to happen so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, yeah, it may. So for me, open borders in the short term will be good news as the flow of commerce becomes smoother.
Final question for you, Vernon. You know, we often it's the old saying.
Yeah.
We often hear of prices going up, but never coming down. How can retailers take advantage of price drops in the supply chain? Is that something that happens ever, often?
Unfortunately, price drops are few and far between.
Right.
In recent years, they typically only occur when there's a technology or business model disruption. Or in the worst case, a prolonged recession. And we have to remember, even before the pandemic, there were already price pressures due to our weakened ringgit at that time. So, you know, if it does happen, what I would advise retailers to do is to take the opportunity to keep their prices low, to bring in more customers and gain market share. However, I mean, it is important to make their decision based on accurate data, because the cost of doing business is not just dependent on cost of goods. It's also dependent on real estate costs and labor costs and other statutory costs that are associated with running a business. And definitely in the current climate, they cannot afford to let bad data dictate their pricing.
Okay, thank you, Vernon. That was Vernon Chua, the CEO of Energylabs.
Yeah, now I'm just thinking about, it is really not the best time to be, you know, in the F&B industry right now, having to pass on these costs to your customers and, you know, explaining the rise in costs and things like that, and also anticipating that there's going to be another one coming in a couple of months as well. But, you know, it is what it is. We've heard how what's happening in Ukraine and Russia is impacting the price of raw ingredients here, wheat especially, and all over the world as well. Yeah, and also with China's zero COVID policy as well, everything getting blockaded over there as well. It's just, I don't see any price drops happening anytime soon.
Now,
I'm not an expert here, but, you know, doesn't look great.
Not at all. And I was speaking to somebody just over the weekend who really, really wanted to open up a new F&B business. And they were talking about opening up an online bakery and then moving into, you know, a brick and mortar bakery. And it's something they've wanted to do for a long time. And now the pandemic has started to kind of clear up, but we're moving into endemicity. This was something that they really, really wanted to do. And it was heartbreaking to sit them down and explain to them that maybe right now is perhaps not the best time to do it, you know. And it's not saying don't do it, but it's just like, if you really want to do this, you really have to sit down with a very strong business plan and look at how things are going right now.
Yeah, because this is really kind of messed up the costings, like something that you would have prepared to say, because you don't just jump into a business, you know, just you decide yesterday and do it today, right? Overnight, right? But you would have planned for it like a year back, maybe 6 months ago, but the costings have all shifted.
They're all over the place.
And now affordability is going to be a factor if you're going to start a new business, especially in the F&B line. Yeah. So,
what to do?
Yeah, trying times.
Right. That's pretty much it for me and Ords here on Enterprise Biz Bites. But do make sure you stay tuned. We've got the Breakfast Grill replay coming up in just a couple of minutes. Well, just after the 1 o'clock news. Couple of minutes. What am I talking about? But if you did miss any part of the show, don't forget you can download the podcast, which will be available shortly from wherever you normally get it from. We recommend the BFM app. That's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. But coming up on the Breakfast Grill replay after 1 o'clock is Tantri Muhammad Arif Muhammad Yusof, the former Speaker of the House of Representatives. And over the past few years, Malaysia has experienced various unprecedented political developments with the changing of government over the course of the pandemic, as well as the removal, as the first country in the world to remove its speaker before the dissolution of parliament. Sit down, have a good listen to that. That's coming up just after 1 o'clock. On behalf of myself and Audrey, we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow at noon here for Enterprise Biz Bites on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise Biz Bites was presented by Allianz Malaysia, empowering businesses to build confidence in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.